Backseat Producers, Episode 153, The Wrestler. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
What are we talking about next week?
We don't know yet.
Booyah! We talked like six movies before this started.
Yeah, I don't know. We can talk about any of them. I'm cool.
Here's the deal. I watched a couple movies. Jennifer's Body. If you're looking to watch for Megan Fox get naked, it does not happen.
Well, it's not worth my time then.
It's actually a pretty tongue-in-cheek, like...
That's what I heard.
...horror movie. It's actually pretty clever.
I don't care for many horror movies unless they make fun of themselves, in which case I really enjoy them.
There's a character with a hook hand, never talked about. And you know who it is? It's the dad from Juno.
Nice.
It's that guy. And nice. It's a terrible toupee. It's hilarious.
Well, they had a hook hand thing going on in Scream also.
Yeah, but that was part of the plot.
Yeah.
This guy just has a hook hand.
That's awesome.
No reason.
No. All right, so I'm probably going to go see Inception.
Thank God.
And or Expendables.
I don't plan on seeing Expendables. So.
I do plan on seeing that.
Inception.
Inception. Next week, Inception.
Oh, yeah.
The week after that, let's do The Men of Steric Goats.
I'm in for that.
since you have just seen it, so.
I got excited, and then I got less excited. Then I'm like, oh,
why? Because there was, what else did you want to
do? This is 2 weeks that I don't have to do prep, so. I am in.
No more last-minute runs to Blockbuster?
Blockbuster, and then Family Video, which Family Video has a large porn section that is not family. Although some of it is, like Brothers and Sisters Get It On is probably one of their most viewed titles, I would imagine.
I'd give it a 7. It's how you make a family.
I'd give it a 7 out of 9.
All right.
Yeah, the Manson family.
All right, so next week Inception, the week after that...
Men of Steric Goats.
Yes.
All right, so I guess we've started. Mm-hmm. We are the Backseat Producers, and you didn't even introduce yourself.
Nope.
But that's fine.
I'm Ninja this time.
Everybody knows who you are. Jerkface.
Not if we don't release an episode. God, who's next in the rotation? That guy needs to edit his stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Can't imagine. Considering the episode after that is already done.
Hey, I had a very busy week. Tomorrow, I won't get home till late because I'm drafting my fantasy football team. So listen to this crap. Okay, so I started playing last year, and they're like, oh, you want to play this year? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play and I'm going to win. No, you don't watch football. And I'm like, first off, this is a game. It's nothing more than a game. Don't think of this as...
It has nothing to do with football.
Yeah, you're right. I'm like, that's the resolution mechanic for this game. You guys realize, well, you don't watch it, so you don't have the insider information.
It's
like
the die roll.
Second off, ESPN does all the analysis for you. They did the analysis for you, and they did the analysis for me, so we're on the same playing field.
Yep.
So, because I started last year, they made me draft last. I was 8th in the order. So I had to wait for everybody else to go, then I went twice, and then I went back around and did the snake thing. So goddamn, this year I was like, so I took second place last year, because I kick ass.
So now you're 7th in the pool?
I'm 8th again!
how'd you score that? The first place should have been 8th.
So goddamn, they sent out the email this morning, they're like, oh, we got 2 more teams playing this year, so there's 10 of us, so we decided to just randomize it. And I'm like, are you kidding? You know what? Whatever, it's fine. You told me I was going to get 8th last year, I got 2nd, so you guys can eat my ass.
Oh. Alright, so this week we were talking about The Wrestler. Mm-hmm. How's that for a transition?
Hey, I'm in.
Bam.
Mickey Rourke's big comeback film.
I wasn't impressed with this movie.
It's a character study. I didn't expect you to like it.
You know what was weird, though? I watched it with Melina today, and she's like, I don't want to watch this movie. It's just a comeback thing for Mickey Rourke. And I'm like, that is a judgment that has nothing to do with the movie.
Right.
So middle, I'm like, let's watch it. I mean, he was nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah.
For his role. I'm like, this is probably going to be good. So midway through the movie, I'm like, this is terrible. I don't want to watch this anymore. And she's like, no. I'm on the train now. Are you kidding me? Is it the pain train? She's like, no, I'm going to see how this ends. And I'm like, I bet you're going to be disappointed.
And she was.
And she was.
I saw the Facebook post. What'd you think of it?
That was pretty good. I mean, if you really want to dovetail this movie in with another one, it's got a similar topic, go rent Beyond the Mat and watch them one right after the other.
I haven't seen that one.
Well worth it. It's a documentary made about 10 years ago. But the character, one of the characters in there, is pretty much has the same story as the Ram.
Okay.
Except it happened in real life.
Yeah. I liked this movie.
Because it was No Country for Old Men with wrestlers?
Mostly.
Okay. So we're all clear.
I don't have a problem with that. And no, I liked it. I thought it was well acted, well written, well produced. I loved the music, but that's the music that I listen to anyway. So,
you know, when they were in the bar and they're like, 80s music, yeah! 90s sucked! And I was like, oh, God, it's listening to Tony and Chris.
Yes. Yeah, I mean...
All right, so tell me why I should like this movie.
It was well-written, well-acted. Marissa Tomei's boobs.
Marissa Tomei's boobs. What? Mm-hmm. Boom.
Spoiler alert or not, I don't know. I'm going to go and throw it out there.
That's an incentive.
Truth.
Actually, the problem was that I was watching this. I'm like, Marissa Tomei is in this. I don't know what she looks like. So then, like, she got naked, and I was like, I don't know if she'll get naked or not. Maybe she's the daughter. And then I saw the daughter. I'm like, nah, that daughter's too young to be Marissa Tomei.
Right.
It was a whole... It was like a mystery.
You had to figure it out. You had to solve it.
The wrestler. Suspense thriller.
No, I thought it was a good, solid, well-written story. It was a character study. So, I already had a point against it for you.
Yep. It was well-written. Another point against it. I was out for that.
And I thought the acting was incredible. I thought for the roles, the roles of the individuals, they pulled them off well. Marissa Tomei as the stripper. Mickey Rourke as Randy the Ram was fantastic.
I saw
because he played the role of a guy who was once glorious and is now
a nobody,
worthless.
Yeah, unfortunately,
well, it's not so much worthless. Is he's just a man trying to hold on to his former glory?
Yeah,
because he doesn't know what else to do.
Unfortunately, that was the best part of this movie. Was how much they nail those little things. Like, when he goes to the strip club, all he talks about is how he used to be a badass. He's like, look at my scars, check this out. This happened in 1973 at this place, and this guy is like, oh, you're like that football jock who just never shuts up about that game.
Yep, exactly. And they nailed that.
Yeah,
the whole thing felt really authentic. They're all in the locker room, and the one guy is just selling prescription meds to them because none of them have insurance. None of them have any way to pay for any of this stuff other than the cash they get from their.
Well, from the take, I mean, it's all based on just what sort of gross they get off the box that night. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's a slow night. Then pretty much they're working for free.
Exactly, exactly.
But that's kind of the truth of professional and semi pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of small paducah bouts in out of the way places, and I mean they had that this one bout was in an elementary school. You see all the art on the wall there. It's the gym of an elementary school.
Yep.
Like you feel like this guy was big name, and all of a sudden, like, I'm working for pennies.
The convention atmosphere mm-hmm. is the same as any fan convention mm-hmm. I've ever been to of any type.
Yeah.
Where it's a very small convention, there's very few people there, but the people who...
The rabid fans show up.
The rabid fans show up, and those people, the talent that is there for those fans, they think they are just so awesome, and they're just going to get all this notoriety for it. And they do from those 3 to 5 people that show up.
But those 3 to 5 people make it sometimes worthwhile.
Exactly.
There's one scene in there where they're at the signing table, and like all the other wrestlers are sitting around, and like they're getting no fans at all.
Right.
And he's getting kind of the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming by, they're talking, they're taking pictures, you know, buying posters and tapes and
like
stuff.
Like the one guy was falling asleep. Yeah.
And that's kind of the truth of it, too. I mean, it's
Boom.
The part of the ugly part that people don't always see.
That place. Did you spot Frank from 30 Rock? He was the guy who organized it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, boom, Judah Friedlander right there. Melina's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you just wait for the credits, bitch.
Yep.
I am like, sniped, nailed it.
And also, one thing with the camera work in this, it was a lot of over-the-shoulder documentary style, all handheld,
right.
where you're following him around.
There's
no real set scenes.
Ten minutes in, I was like, is this going to be the whole movie where they're just shooting the back of Mickey Rourke's head? Like,
yeah.
Is that what he got the nod for? Not showing his face? But showing his ass a lot?
Yeah, that happened.
That happened a lot.
So
that was the price of admission for Marissa Tomei.
The basic story, because we've kind of talked around it a little bit. We've got Randy the Ram, who is a former pro wrestler. Well, he's still a pro wrestler. He's just not in
the top anymore.
In the big commercial.
This is 20 years after he was a pro wrestler.
Basically,
after his big peak bout with the Ayatollah.
Yes.
And that was of his career.
You know what? This movie kind of is... It's reminiscent of Rocky Balboa,
mm-hmm.
the last Rocky movie, with the exception of, instead of after Rocky IV, when he stopped fighting, he didn't stop fighting. He just kept trying to hang on. Where Rocky held on to his former glory with the restaurant and talking mm-hmm. to people at the restaurant, this guy just kept fighting and kept getting hurt and kept getting maimed for the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he got it.
In a couple of scenes where he's about to walk on to, quote-unquote, the stage, whether it's the ring or even in his job, in the background, you hear the crowd roaring, and he always pauses right before he walks through the door. Like, okay, I'm on stage now.
Yes.
And I'm waiting for the roar of that crowd to pump me back up. That's what this guy lives for. The roar of the crowd. That 10 minutes of glory he has in the ring.
Where absolutely.
He can do absolutely no wrong.
Yep.
There were a couple of great scenes like that. When he walks into the deli, mm-hmm. and he's standing at the little plastic flaps, and the cheering, and then he walks through.
And it's dead silence.
That was fantastic. And then when... Marissa Tomei tells him that he's the Ram of God. Yes. Yes. That whole scene was awesome.
Yeah. So, Randy's story is he's working at a grocery store.
Right, to make ends meet.
Yeah, he's
barely making it.
Yeah, that's where he's really making any money. Because the money he makes from wrestling is... simply furthering what little career he has left. Mm. It's paying for the drugs that he needs because of all the injuries. It's paying for...
The steroids,
the...
workouts.
Yeah, the workout time.
Bleaching the hair.
Yes.
Tanning.
Yeah. That hair was bad.
That hair was terrible.
It's 80s hair.
Yeah.
Big hair.
It's Hulk Hogan hair. It's like the nasty Hulk Hogan hair.
Yep. Exactly.
And he's a man who just doesn't want to let go of that glory.
Nope.
He's trying to reclaim that fire.
Nope. And
not doing a really good job of it.
Yeah. He has a friend in Marissa Tomei, at least
Cassidy.
He kind of thinks that she's a friend, but she's a stripper. So she's just
charges them for lap dances. That means they're not friends.
Exactly.
I know how this works.
That's true.
Yeah. But the thing is, Cassidy, the stripper, she's facing the same thing that Randy is.
Mm-hmm.
Her career is getting close to an end too, and she's trying to hold on to her glory because she takes in one scene a lot of crap off a bunch of younger customers there that she's too old to be
a stripper. Yeah,
and Randy comes in and kind of breaks him up a little bit.
Yeah, I would be worried if that guy tried to break something up. But he was frightening looking in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you gotta think, despite all his injuries and all his defeated looks, he's still pretty ripped.
Yeah.
He was a thick dude.
He was well built. And, I mean, Mickey Rourke, as a person, bulked up a lot after he kind of fell out of acting. And he was like in boxing for a while. And, yeah, he really bulked up during that period. And, yeah, he's got. You could tell that a big part of this character was his build.
Well, a big part of his character is Mickey Rourke.
Well, yeah.
I mean, despite everything, you know, this hole wasn't a whole stretch for him to really put himself into it.
No, I think the one thing that was different compared to kind of the personality that Mickey Rourke had when he was, like, toward the end of his first shot at acting was... He was kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was just...
I don't even know what he did before he quit.
He like, punched a photographer and...
What movies did he do before
he quit? Angel Heart was one of his more better-known ones. He was in a lot of police procedurals.
9.5 weeks, wasn't he in that?
I'm trying to remember. He was in a lot of police procedurals, murder mysteries, kind of stuff that was kind of edgy for the first part of the 90s and 80s.
Late '80s, early '90s, a lot of stuff that would be. It wasn't top shelf video kind of stuff. It was. I mean, there was stuff that.
Not backseat producers. I mean.
No. What is?
Yeah, what is? Not even backseat producers. It's
hardly ever.
Anyway, Mickey Rourke was a pretty up and coming name.
Last episode, when we had the real talent on the show, that was.
He was an up-and-coming name in the 80s and 90s, and unfortunately, he flamed out a little too soon.
Yeah, he burned out. He imploded as a personality.
Self-inflicted implosion.
Yeah. He would do just crazy shit, kind of like the stuff that Colin Farrell did, except to an extreme.
Colin Farrell, I've seen his ball sack.
Okay.
I've seen Alexander.
I haven't seen that, so.
Ball sack alert.
Okay. Thank you for the warning.
You're welcome.
Again, every party at your house should come with one of those, especially when Rob's around.
Yeah, well, there's a big warning on the door, so...
That's true.
You see what you're walking into.
Yeah. Limited liability over here.
You were going to say something?
No.
All right.
That was my redirecting the conversation.
Fantastic.
It's my moderation,
Well done.
Yeah, but the one thing kind of stands out also in this movie is, you know, part of Randy's character is despite everything, he keeps plugging along. Everybody, you know, tells him that, you know, he's got to hang it up, but he still keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that he doesn't. Like, so the doctor says you have to quit wrestling. So he quits wrestling.
For a while.
Well, he quits wrestling until it stopped working for him. Because, like, he had a nice thing going with, like, the whole job at the grocery store and the relationship with the daughter. Like, that was working. And then the stripper showed up, and then everything went to hell.
No, it wasn't working. He was straining on the job, basically trying to put the best spin on it he could.
I don't think so.
I agree.
The sad part. It was, that was working for him when he actually started acting like a human being for once.
The deli thing was working for him. He was actually he was doing a bitching job at the deli and having
fun. He was enjoying it.
Yeah.
He was
He was starting to enjoy it.
He really seemed to be enjoying it, and he felt like he could have glory and have fun someplace mm-hmm. other than...
The problem came in when the stripper rejected
the woman
because it wasn't like the ring where he could have everything.
Right.
He couldn't have everything in a normal life, even though the stripper eventually just came back. So he really could have if he just...
And really, what he wanted, he got until her. Even his daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, by all rights, when he first comes up to her, she's pissed. But, you know, she should have been. But he won her back.
Yeah,
he started doing the right things. He reconnected. He got what he wanted. He was getting what he wanted out of his time wrestling. But when it came to the stripper, she just didn't bow down.
She was in, but then she wasn't in.
She was in, and then she got spooked.
Well, she got spooked because she saw herself in him.
Well, yeah. They're the same. Where his body was failing him, she was just getting... She was just aging.
So this was the weirdest thing about this movie. So, like, I don't understand. Like, there are some interactions that happen where, like, the result... I think the result is different from how we see the situation. So she's rejected him. He's sitting at the bar. And she says, "You just see me as a stripper," or whatever. And, like, that's not how their relationship was at all.
You're right. You're right. But that was her way of pushing him away.
Oh, yeah, I get it. He's like, "You know, I'm a mother. I'm not just a stripper." And so, like, when she told him that he hit a kid, his reaction was like, "What? That's gross." It was, "Oh, what do you have, a boy or a girl?" It was like a non-weirded-out reaction. Well, I mean, it was kind of weird.
Well, he had a family himself, too, so he's not...
He was... Because he was looking for a connection.
Yeah.
For in his mind... Yeah, he was in. He was... She was using it as a defense mechanism.
Yeah. So that's a simple... I don't know.
Where are you going with this?
It's obnoxious to me when people have these communication things, and I'm like... I get annoyed when the character isn't smart enough to see it for what it is and then comment on it. Because that's what I would do. I would be pissed. We were sitting at the bar, and she said that to me. It's like, yeah, that's clearly a deflection, so what's the real issue here?
Because most people don't say that.
I know! I say that!
Because you're a jerk!
Yeah, well, you know what? I have an efficient method of communication. Except when I'm podcasting. Then I use the moderation Not efficient. So I thought that was really well done, though.
Right.
Despite the fact that it frustrated me.
It frustrates you because you don't communicate that way.
Yeah, you're right. But it was still well done because people communicate that way.
Most people communicate that way. Yeah. He was being nice about it. He was being nice about it because he wanted to get in her pants.
I don't think that's true.
No, I think he wanted a normal relationship.
With somebody. Which eventually will end up with him in her pants.
Mm-hmm. That's the end result of every relationship.
Of course.
I mean, come on.
I think he wanted to make a connection with somebody, finally, to have a normal...
He felt he was making a connection to somebody.
Yeah.
And he was just following through with it. Where she was trying to deflect, he saw that as an icebreaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were communicating on two different levels.
Right. Well, also, there's a lot of some mixed signals here. She every time he asks her to help him out with something, she's more than eager to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the first time when he asked her... When she's in the club, and he asks her, "Hey, could you come outside? I need to talk to you for a moment." Well, she begs the off from her friends there, says, "You know, I got to go outside and smoke." And like, okay, and then meets out there, and they have the discussion. And then he asks her again, "Hey, help me find some clothes for my present for my daughter."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone was doing that, I would say they're generally interested in helping, or at least be interested in me. I mean, it's
right.
Small things.
Right. But...
She never really pushes him away all the time.
No, but when he started getting close,
mm-hmm.
and when...
Then her shields went up, and, like, phasers went on full attack, and
because
then bang.
It started being real, and it started being right. Something she could accept, and it wasn't just the safe life
right.
She had as a stripper.
He wanted to take it to the
stripper, but I'd still pay her.
Yeah, he wanted to take it to the next level, and she wasn't ready to go.
Take it to the next level of stripper customer.
Well, that's just it. She
time to break
saying,
out the Franklins.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but when he reacts in that manner, he says, "Okay, treat me as a customer," and hands out the money. She doesn't want that either.
Right.
Yeah, she's a woman. She doesn't
want no.
Anything. Well, Well, that's just it. He's trying to get back at her. Okay, if you're going to push me away and say I'm a customer, then I'll treat you like a regular, you know, client relationship. Here's right. the money. Now give me my lap dance.
Well,
and now, oh, I don't want to do that now.
You think that I only look at you as a stripper slash whore? So here's the money. Let's do this.
Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But again, she again rejects that too. She's kind of confused herself which way.
This
she
relationship went. With the daughter was obnoxious.
In what way?
In that, so he was late for dinner. Very late for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Like about 12 hours.
Well, was it that much time? Was it in
dinner? Yeah, he slept
it
through was, the yeah, whole
he
day.
He slept through the whole day.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like the next day when he finally apologized about it.
I thought it was just like a couple hours.
No. And to be fair, if you have a parent that has a history of doing that, when that happens again, any cred you built is gone.
Yes, it kind of sets fire to everything.
Yeah. Any bridge you were building all of a sudden gets nuked.
I don't know.
It starts over.
I don't have a good basis for relationship.
No. No, because you have a wonderful family life.
I have great parents, yeah.
Yep. I mean, so do I, but I know other people that don't.
I see those Bud Light pictures up there that your dad got for us. I know you have great parents.
Yes.
I don't know. I found that section of the movie really awkward. But
it's meant to be.
It is supposed
to be
awkward.
It's meant to be awkward in the way that I found it awkward.
Well,
maybe.
The thing is, if
it's supposed
if
to be uncomfortable.
If you've experienced that, you know where she's coming from.
I have experienced it tangentially.
By proxy.
Same difference.
And I've been
yes.
up there personal and real.
I don't think tangentially by proxy.
No, they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing at all.
And believe me, it's a lot more emotional than what they portrayed there.
Right. But
the feelings are extremely intense.
But with what they did, it got that point across. Mm-hmm. It made you feel uncomfortable watching right. that sequence.
Right, because everything he'd been working for, he just destroyed. And
absolutely.
Destroyed her again.
Yep.
And so at this point now, Randy has basically lost it all. He's lost the woman he's been trying to have a relationship with. He's lost his daughter. And soon the next disaster is going to happen.
Important question here. Daughter lesbian, yes, no?
I think yes.
I think yes, too.
I think yes, and I think Randy's kind of in denial about that.
I don't.
At first he is. At first he is.
Because in the story, he's like, I think she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference?
Well, at first, it kind of seemed like he was, and there, I'm remembering a scene where he like got a clue, like it was like, oh, but yeah, I believe the daughter was probably a lesbian. Lesbian.
So
yes.
After he loses everything, because then he goes through the whole quitting the job thing. That's I don't know that.
That was awkward.
Yeah, I don't know whether he was staging that or was he...
I think he was staging it. I think he was...
Because he's done stuff like that.
He's an actor.
Yep.
As his... what he does on stage, he was having his big bow out
mm-hmm.
where he really couldn't take that on stage in the arena in wrestling. He did it here. It was pathetic.
I have a very low tolerance for people who are like that. Okay, so I worked a long time in a grocery store, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're quitting. That's great. But the rest of us still have to work here. And there's no reason to be a dick to the people who still have to work there.
Well,
like,
I don't think he's really attached to them. I mean, the one guy he's working with treats him like trash anyway.
That's because he is trash.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't have to be so blatant about it. I mean, the guy's already been kicked down. Do you have to kick him anymore?
That was hilarious when he walked into that guy watching porn. The guy like, doesn't even turn it off. It's like, what did you learn about knocking? Go out and do it again.
Yeah, it was pathetic, and it was. I think it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I know it was.
I mean, that's the thing that frustrates you about this movie is... You wouldn't do things this way.
You're right. I have my Hispanic pride would not allow me to live this way.
But other people would.
I like big butts.
I can relate. It's a good song.
It's an alright song. Moving on. All right, so he quits his job theatrically.
Moment. That song is hilarious when done karaoke by 35 to 40-ish year old women who have no fat on them at all, because they turn around and spank their own asses or have their girlfriends spank their asses and there's nothing there. And it's like, the irony of it is hilarious. Go on.
All right, so he's lost everything. So he's decided it's time to wrestle with an A.
Yes.
And no T.
His command performance.
That's right.
Yeah, so he calls up and says all the stuff that the big bout he canceled out of is now on.
Yep.
He's going to have the rematch with his arch nemesis, the Ayatollah, and they're going to redo their famous 20-year-old anniversary battle.
Yeah, and
best line of the movie is coming up. Just letting you know.
Which
if
one?
I had air horns, like klaxons. No, 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 no. We don't need any more of that. I know where that's going. Don't even turn it on.
I can make it happen.
No, that's all right.
So he lets Marissa Tomei know that he's doing this.
No, she shows up at his house.
He's leaving.
And she's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to wrestle. And she's like, that's not good for you. And he's like, here's the flyer. And takes off. Because he knows he's on the clock.
Yeah.
He has to pay for all this time.
That's true.
He sets up the bout, he goes there, and then there's the rapid approaching montage of her trying to get there before he begins to wrestle.
And him prepping.
Getting into the zone, and then him rubbing his bypass scar ominously.
Yep.
And then
the bit of foreshadowing. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know, halfway through this movie, I'm like, someone's going to die at the end of this movie. And Melina's like, no, I think they're going to end up happy. And I'm like,
you don't see where this is going, do you?
You don't understand what this story is.
This story is not about being happy.
This is not a happy story.
No part of this movie has projected happy.
The happy part of the story was 20 years ago. We're not 20 years ago. We're present day.
Yep.
We're 20 years later. So he's standing at the mouth of the ramp to the ring, and then Marissa Tomei shows up, and then he gives the best speech of the movie, where he's like, nothing can hurt me in the ring.
Right. I've always been hurt on the outside, but
I've
never
only
here.
Been hurt on the outside.
Yep.
Which is
that wasn't the best line of the movie.
No.
But it's pretty much sums up the truth of his life.
Yes.
He spent all his time in the ring, and everything there is choreographed and pre-planned, and everybody he knows there is always his friend or his fans, and he has no. He's well loved.
He's well loved in the community. Yeah. Not just the fans, but the other
wrestlers.
They really admire him.
The guy who sells him the drugs, He's like, hey man, I don't have enough.
I'll take care of you.
Hey, I know you're good for it.
Yeah.
Drug pushers don't do that.
No.
So.
No, he's a good guy. I mean. And other wrestlers even come up to him, like there's the young wrestler that comes up to him for advice, and he's talking him through stuff, you know, and you get the sense that he really is loved in this community, and it's not just by the fans, it's by the people who work in it day to day.
And that's the only true happiness he's really ever known.
Yep.
So when he comes up to the portal and gets ready to go out to face the audience, he's ready to go. But the thing is, he knows he's not coming back, so there's not going to hold any.
I don't think that he knows that until midway through the fight.
Yeah,
no, I think he knew beforehand.
I think he's prepared for it.
I don't think he knows this fight.
Right, he knows that it's coming. He knows that he's prepared that it could be at any time, but his plan at this point is to go out fighting.
Yeah, which
whether it happens this fight. Or 3 weeks from now, or a year from now.
I can't disagree. I think he knows this is the last one.
I don't get that sense until about halfway through the fight.
I don't get that sense until halfway through the fight when it actually starts affecting him.
Yeah.
Although, what I love about it is that I told Melina that this wasn't going to be a happy ending story, but this is a happy ending story.
They ended it. I thought the ending was perfect.
I thought the ending was a win out.
Spot on perfect. Nope.
No.
Nope. I thought that was the way it should have been.
Nope. I think so too.
If you're going to end a movie, kill the character or don't kill the character. Don't wean out.
See, they gave him his moment of glory without the triumph of him laying dead on the mat. That's the way I see it.
First off, we all expected 300 style laying with your arms out the cross type thing.
They've been
setting up the Jesus finale for the entire goddamn movie. You're the Ram of God. Come on.
No, I disagree. I think. Well, they. You know what? They did show him like this coming down.
Oh, they did. No. Yeah.
He was coming down in the.
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
That's not the Ram Jam. That is not the Ram Jam. The Ram Jam was out.
It was out. His arms were splayed.
I got the movie at home. I'll watch it tonight.
This may be edited.
Yeah.
We could be wrong, yeah. Which is not the first time.
But the thing is,
there's not enough of a crowd in the chat room to prove us wrong unless Stingray knows intimately.
As he was coming down, that's where we see his feet pass over the camera.
Yeah.
And then it goes to black right there.
I thought that was perfect. I liked the ending.
I hate endings like that.
I think it worked for this movie.
It was a pulled punch.
No.
I don't think it was a pulled punch at all.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not a pulled punch.
No, I think the pulled punch would have been... I think the pulled punch would have been to show him dead.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
How is that a pulled punch?
Because it leaves it to the audience to determine.
Oh, leaves it to the audience to determine. That is the lamest thing.
Because that's what your wife expected. She expected resolution.
No. We both knew that it wasn't going to... Tony, I want to have this conversation with you, but I have to wait until later. And then we're going to talk... What I want you to do...
All right.
You know what? On Sunday when I'm talking to Chris about True Blood?
Uh-huh.
Later. We're going to have another conversation, and I want you to remember this moment.
Okay.
This moment where I said, not telling you the conclusion of the story is a wean-out move for a storyteller who doesn't have the balls to go all the way in.
No, I disagree. This was the conclusion.
It's not a conclusion!
Yes, it is. Everything is built up to it.
There's an adage.
We know what's going to happen to him.
There's an adage. Every story ends happily ever after as long as you end it at the right place.
I don't want to hear storyteller mumbo jumbo over there. What does that even mean?
All right.
No, I get what it means.
You get what it means.
I understand what it
means. Because eventually, we all end up dead.
Well, yeah, I know. But the crux of the issue is that if you're going to end the story and the guy was going to be dead in 5 minutes, you might as well just...
This wasn't a life story, though. It was a character study. And the character study had nothing to do with his death. It had to do with regaining.
It had to do with his
glory. It wasn't honor. Oh, it wasn't honor. It was glory.
You're right.
There was no honor to it.
He didn't regain his glory if he kept living.
No, because his life was already over. He knew it. He's only way he
is. The way I saw it, and in my mind, the way it ended, when we stopped seeing him, he was dead in the air. He was dead. Before he hit the mat.
That's a fantastic theory.
And that's what it'll always be.
I know.
And I'm cool with that. No, it's not. It's perfect.
Randy the Ram went out his
The final life. Ram Jam.
Yeah. I was expecting more Black Betty jokes, honestly.
Yeah. There could have been a lot more.
Yeah, I was expecting more of that. But you can't make a statement without saying any words.
Sure you can.
No, you can't.
The statement was the whole film.
Yeah, I know.
Leading up to that moment.
The last word in the sentence.
Glory.
Was omitted.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
The period was omitted.
No. It's only in context that you think it was glory. Without an ending, there is no context. It's open-ended context.
He was winning the fight. He had his moment of glory.
First off, we glazed over the best line of the movie, which was... When he starts having the chest pains and like he looks obviously like he's about to have another heart attack, the guy is like, "Oh, don't worry, I'll take it from here," and just runs and flips over him.
Yeah,
that was the best night of the movie because that was hilarious. But I don't understand how you can say that. Well, he regained his glory. Okay. In the context of what they've shown you, maybe. However, if he goes on to live for another 10 years, he's lost the glory again because he obviously cannot fight
anymore. That's the whole point of the end. He's not. This is.
But it's not the end.
It's the end of him.
No, it's the end of what they show you of the story.
Yes.
And it's the end of him. That was the whole
conclusion. It's about him regaining his glory, and he regained it. Regardless of what happens after that, regardless of if he dies in the air or lives another 15 years as an invalid on breathing machines, at that moment, he regained his glory.
It's not even a final Ram Jam. Look at that. He doesn't even do it right. Just that.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
That's how he came down.
Yeah, that's the Ram Jam.
Yeah, that's how he came down. Yeah, it was. The next 15 years are a different movie.
The Wrestler 2.
I hope not.
The nursing home years.
Yeah.
I seriously hope not.
The Wrestler 2 depends.
No, Randy the Ram ends at this movie. There is no more of him.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad assumption.
I think it's the best assumption, given everything that it built up to it.
Whoa.
This man,
bad assumption and the best assumption are not mutually exclusive.
Well, given the fact that he...
That's true.
Given the fact that all through the movie, he's burned every bridge at this final moment, and he's not. There's nothing for him to come back to. He has no family. He has no.
He's got Marissa Tomei's boobs.
And she's the only...
Maybe.
She left. Well, yeah, that's right. She left the ring because she knew what was going to happen to him.
She didn't want
to
see it.
So he's lost everything, and the only thing he has to live for is this last moment.
Now I think the story is interesting, because he's given up everything,
mm-hmm.
trying to go out in a blaze of glory, and then doesn't go out. That's the story.
I don't think so.
No. I realize...
That, you're right. That would be a hell of a story.
That would be a hell of a story.
But that's a story that starts
with him
in the air.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that's where that story starts.
I'm saying that you cannot assume that he dies in the air.
I think you can.
I think you can, but then you can't also say that he didn't die in the air.
I didn't say he didn't die in the air.
I would like
to see the story of what happens to him if he didn't die in the air, but I think he died in the air. I think it was all set up for him to be... I think all the foreshadowing and everything they were telling us was his death.
I'm done with this movie. I'm done with this movie like Mickey Rourke's mushy ass. He did some mushy ass.
I wasn't paying that close attention, I'll be honest.
I got the ninja eye. Every contour.
I know.
Every mashed potato butt.
You saw some squishy asses here right before we started recording.
It's been that kind of day.
Well, one last thing too. We're going to end this. The music in this movie was spot on. All the 80s.
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I love that kind of music.
So before the movie started, we got on Blu-ray. The previews on the movie thing are for like some Notorious B.I.G. tribute. So the preview is literally just flashes of random black people and rap. Okay? So I was like, hey, let's have a preview that's nothing but a rap music video. So next... The next thing that comes on is a Bruce Springsteen tribute thing, which is nothing but Springsteen, and then flashes of middle-aged white men.
That's like, awesome.
Let's not have a preview. Let's just have a middle-aged white guy music video. And then we start the movie, and it's just 80s hair band music as he's driving around.
Yep.
And I'm like, let's not have a movie. Let's just have an 80s hair band music video. And I was like, this is the best joke I've ever made to one person ever.
You got to share it with the podcast now, so...
I know.
It goes out to...
Tens of people.
Maybe dozens.
Maybe.
Dozens of dozens. Maybe not dozens of dozens. Yeah, maybe just dozens.
Yeah, maybe just dozens. dozen is 144, so that's...
We'd be lucky to hit that point. if they're actually still listening.
Maybe. See, look, I got Stingray to laugh. Victory. Mission accomplished. I need a big banner. Hanging on the battleship behind me.
No, the only thing I mentioned it before is I really liked, without knowing if it was authentic, it felt authentic. When, especially like the scenes in the locker room, when he's talking to the other wrestlers,
oh, yeah,
and they're getting their assignments, and they're like, yeah, you're going to win to him, and you're going to lose to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the young guy who's losing is going up and like thanking the guy who's going to kick his ass in a few minutes, and I really respect you. And
lay into me here.
Yeah, here's some moves that I got. I'm gonna do this. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yes. No. It had a very blue collar, authentic feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is, that's the way these things are. Again, go get beyond the mat if you want to see what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean,
there have even been some other documentaries about, you know, what goes on in professional wrestling, and you got to remember these guys are stuntmen.
Oh yeah,
and they choreograph every one of these moves out.
Mm-hmm.
I live my whole life beyond the mat.
Cushman.
Nice. I was thinking about that guy today. I email him.
That's all I've got.
Yeah, I'm out for this.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I still enjoyed it.
Highly recommend it.
I really enjoyed talking about the movie, too.
I think I hate it's a non-endings. I need an ending.
Twitter disagrees.
Yep.
No, Twitter agrees.
Twitter that has given its final tweet.
That was
given
the pay attention to me.
Tweeting.
That was. I'm curious now. It's probably Stingray saying, somebody get here and tell Tony how he's wrong. Or
yeah.
Tell Adam how he's wrong. It's probably tell Adam.
No, tell Tony.
It's probably tell Adam.
Stingray agrees with me. Stingray's got my back. He's going to crush your arguments.
You might lose, mm-hmm. but that loss is going to put you over. So you owe the winner.
Yeah. I mean, these guys switch back and forth on roles all the time.
I don't even watch the movie. That's my little Stingray. Have you and your traditional reviewer's sense of...
No, it was Mrs. Chibi Mom, who I have to say is probably one of the funniest...
She's my favorite Twitter user.
Yeah, she's one of the most consistently funniest Twitter user that I'm following right now.
She better come down for Tron.
I'm hoping. Her comment, because it is relevant... Is can't get into this wrestler movie. It's too depressing. Him dying, being disabled for the rest of his life. No, not a chick flick.
No, it's not meant to be.
Him dying or being disabled for the rest of his life.
Him dying, comma, being... Him dying, comma, disabled for the rest of his life.
Mm, I think it should have been a slash.
It was a comma.
It sounded like it was intended to be a slash.
Perhaps.
I'm out of here. I gotta
okay.
You have to write some slash, don't you?
I don't think that's slash. It's like a double-ended fleshlight with Roland and Neville on either side. You know, Chinese finger trap.
Whoa. The mind reels.
Mind boggles, the penis hardens.
Yes.
What's really weird right now is I'm listening to I Am Legend, the audiobook, and Neville is the main character of the book. So it's messing with me, that reference right now.
Not messing with you.
Well, making references to the character named Neville.
No.
But...
You just imagined him, like...
Yes.
Flexing around New York.
All right. That's it. Thank you. Next week is Inception.